Tonight, our speaker, the person, Brother Sean Evans, Brother Sean from Tylertown, Mississippi. He's no stranger to our call. Tonight, we want to talk on the topic, what does it mean to die in the Lord? Revelation chapter 14. Let's give our ear to Brother Sean at this time.
Thank you, my brother. I hope everyone is doing well on tonight. Family, we're going to dive right into the lesson. We're going into Revelations. The chapter is 14. And we're going to start at verse number 13, Revelations 14 and 13. And I hope you all follow along with me. I hope you have your Bibles, your pencil and paper with you. And if someone invited you on the call, they love you because they want you to hear the truth. They want you to hear the word of God. And so tonight we're going to do our best to break the bread of life in a manner that God receive the glory and the honor. So in Revelations 14 and 13, the Bible says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." Let's break this down here. He says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed." That word blessed means supremely blessed, fortunate, well off. So how many of you all know that you are truly blessed? Now, many folks say that I'm blessed, but how do I know I'm blessed? How do I know I'm part of the blessed? Because notice how he writes this. He said he was told to write, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." So if I'm not die, if I don't die in the Lord, I'm not blessed. He goes on and says, he says, "From now on, yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest." That word rest means to be refreshed. They're going to be refreshed. Refreshed from what? Their toils and pains. That's what that word labors means. They're resting from their toils and pains. Watch the next part of the verse. "For their deeds follow them." For their deeds follow them. But what does it mean to die in the Lord? Because all of us are going to die. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed for man once to die. Now, this is a very important text, but I want to share something else with you. This is a very important text, but I want you to know that no one is going to miss this appointment. But there's another appointment that God has for you that is your choice on dying. It's your choice on dying. Well, wait a minute, Brother Sean. What do you mean? Now, let's look at Hebrews 9:27, because that's what I just quoted. So let's look at that together. Hebrews 9:27, and I'm going to answer that second part of that question. When I said that there's another appointment that God wants you to, it's upon you if you make this appointment. It's upon you if you make this appointment to die. Now let's read this. Hebrews 9:27. Notice what the Bible says. "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." This word appointment means it is preserved. You're not going to miss this appointment. Whether you want to or not, you're going to die. There's no one that can escape this appointment. But there's another appointment that God wants you to make. But it's up to you to make this appointment. This is why you're on tonight, to make sure that you die in the Lord. Let's go to Revelations, back to Revelations. The chapter is 20, and let's look at verse number 6. Revelations 20 and 6. Revelations 20 and 6. Now watch this. John uses the same words again. He used the same word again, blessed, highly favored, supremely blessed. He says here, blessed and holy. This word holy means separated from the common condition. So you're separated from the condition that was put in place for you to make. He's, in other words, when sin entered the world, man was going to die because of sin, was going to die spiritually if Jesus wouldn't have came and become the propitiation for sin. So, but that word holy means you are separated from those conditions. So he said, blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. but they would be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years, a long time, forever. So he says here, blessed and holy is the one who take part in the first resurrection. So in order to take part of a resurrection, I have to die. So there's another death that must take place if we want to die in the Lord. But God is not forcing us to die. He's not forcing us for this death right here. This is upon you whether you would accept the terms that Christ has put in place for your soul. It's up to you. Watch what the Bible says, because he said that the second death, death will have no power over you. So let's look at what that second death is before we look at what does it mean to die in the Lord. What does it mean to die in the Lord? So you look at Revelation chapter 20, and you look at verse number 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Drop over to verse number 8 of 21, Revelation 21:8. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part would be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So this is why John said, blessed and holy are they who die in the Lord. The second death has no power over us. What about you? You're on tonight. Are you a Christian according to the doctrine of Christ? Are you a Christian according to what Jesus told the apostles to go and teach? We're going to look at that in just a second. He says, blessed and holy are they who take part in the first resurrection, for the second death has no authority, no power over them. Now, mankind is smart enough. We are smart enough to prepare for our retirement. We are smart enough, or we give ourselves, or we seek financial advice for a physical retirement. But how many of you all are seeking the word of God, watch this, for spiritual retirement? Because we're going to die. All of us are going to die. And one thing about a Christian, we can have comfort knowing that our loved ones die in the Lord. That's why I never like to use the term, I've lost someone who died in the Lord. I didn't lose them. They retired and have gone on to the other side. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the chapters 4, and let's look at this together. 1 Thessalonians, the chapters 4. Notice what he says here in verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, and then we're going to go over to Luke chapter 12, talking about we can give ourselves financial advice, but we won't seek spiritual advice from God's children on how to be saved and how to have eternal rest. So Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, but we do not want you to be uninformed. King James says ignorant. He said about those who are asleep, so that you would not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Christians, we don't have to grieve like that. Sure, I lost my loved one. Sure, my loved one has transitioned on to the other side. Sure they have. But we are all camping to Canaan land. We all are seeking for heaven on the other side. We all talk about the hilltops of glory. We all talk about mansion, robe, and crown. Well, we're trying to get there. In order to get there, I must die in the Lord. I must die in the Lord. Let's keep going. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who've fallen asleep. Listen how he says this. Those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. That's the same thing that John said. Those who die in the Lord. He said those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, listen how this is going to work. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the loud voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and watch this, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So dying in the Lord is special. Dying in the Lord is the blessing. You want to die in the Lord. Some of us listen to this term, some of us are not qualified to die. What do you mean, Brother Sean, I'm not qualified to die? You haven't checked in with the Lord. So you got to check in before you check out. If you just die, then the only thing that's left for you is hell. Are you qualified to leave here? I like what Paul said. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Paul said, I'm qualified to leave here. He said, I'm qualified to leave here. Some of us need to get our life right with the Lord by obeying the gospel. So I can be qualified. So I won't have to fight death. When death comes, I'm ready. Because I'm qualified to leave here. Paul said, I don't want you to be uninformed. Verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Now watch what he says in verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We don't have to be down. We don't have to be distraught when our loved ones die in the Lord. When our loved ones die in the Lord. Let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. So we got to look at verse. We only look at verse 15. Luke 12. So I want you all to see that many of us we are seeking for financial advice. We're looking at our 401ks. We're looking at our Roths. We're looking at our retirement. And many of us are planning on retiring. And some of us sound just like the man in Luke chapter 12. Some of us sound just like this gentleman in Luke chapter 12 that Jesus is talking about here in verse number 15. Luke 12:15. Then he said to them, beware and be on guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very, very, very productive. He began to reason with himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The only thing he was concerned about was physical retirement, physical relaxation. Eternal retirement wasn't on his mind. How many of you all are ready to retire eternally? How many of you all are ready to die today, tonight? Amen. So let's keep going. He goes on and says, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. This is why Brother Sean said you're not qualified to die. If you hadn't obeyed the gospel, you ain't qualified to leave here. You need to make sure that I obey the gospel tonight. Because why tonight, Brother Sean? No one holds time in their hand. Whoever had you to call in, whoever invited you to the call, you tell them tonight is my night. Tonight is my night that I want to give myself to Christ. Tonight is my night. I want to do what the Bible says in order to be saved. Amen. What does it mean to die in the Lord? Let's keep going. Let's turn back to 1 John. 1 John, the chapter here is 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. 1 John 1 through 4. What does it mean to die in the Lord? 1 John, the chapter is 1 and verse number 1. 1 John 1:1. Watch what John writes here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 1:1. What was from the beginning, what we've heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. This is why they proclaim it. So that you too might have fellowship with us. What has been proclaimed to you? What have you heard about our Lord? He says, we proclaim these things. He goes on and says, so that you may have fellowship with us and with his son, Jesus Christ, these things we write so that our joy might be complete. They had to obey the things that the apostles taught concerning salvation for Jesus. They said, we testify about the things that we have seen. We testify what was manifested, what became in human form. We testify about that. But what does it mean to die in the Lord? Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. When you look at Romans, I'm sorry, not chapter 3, family, forgive me. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. There we go. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. Romans 6 and 3. When you look at Romans 6 and 3, notice what the Bible says. Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? See, there's another death that has to take place in order for me to die in the Lord. And that baptism, that death comes through baptism. He goes on and says, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life, not the old self, not the old person. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we no longer be slaves to sin. Yo, we got to let it go. For he who has died is free from sin. I want you all to turn to Colossians. The chapters 2 and verse number 11. What does it mean to die in the Lord? Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 11. Colossians, the chapter is 2 and verse number 11. And we're going to even use chapter 3, verse number 1 as well. Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 11. Notice what the Bible says. And in him you were also crucified. I'm sorry. In him you was also circumcised. There we go. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. A death has to take place in order for me to rise in newness of life. So when I leave this earth, I'm dying in Christ. If the death angel comes, I die in the Lord, because I've already obeyed the gospel. I already have that new creature. I'm already that new creature. He goes on and says, in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism. There's so many folks that say baptism is not essential for salvation. Then how you circumcise with a circumcision that's not made with hands? Where does that transpire? Where does that happen if I'm not baptized into Christ by the authority of Christ? So then, how does this transpire? He goes on here and says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So you too are raised up too. Look at chapter 3, verse number 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So if you haven't been raised up, you can't even seek the kingdom. If you haven't been raised up, you can't even seek the things above. You can't do it. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, unless a man is born again, he said, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's already old? Can he enter the woman's womb a second time? Jesus said, unless you are born of the water and the spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. He said, don't be amazed that I said you must be born again. Nicodemus in verse number 9 said, how can these things be? Even though Jesus told him in John chapter 3, verse number 9, do not be concerned with the process. Just do what I tell you to do. You're going to have water in the spirit. You may not understand it, but I'm telling you what you need. Nicodemus was caught up in the process. He said, how can these things be? Verse 10, Jesus said, are you the teacher of the Jews? And you do not understand what I say. Why is this so important? Because in Ezekiel chapter 36, starting at verse number 22, when you go down to verse 25, the Bible tells us exactly what Jesus just told Nicodemus. Let's go there real quick for my time run out. Ezekiel 36, very powerful text. Ezekiel 36, very powerful text. Ezekiel 36. I'm going to drop back to verse 23. He said, I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations, gather you into all the land, and bring you out of the land. Notice what he said. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Water. Cleansing you from all your filthiness and for all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit, water and spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statute and will cause you to observe my ordinances. This is why Jesus tells Nicodemus, how are you the teacher? How are you teaching the folks and you don't know what they need? Friends, family, we're telling you tonight what you need to die in the Lord. You must be born again. Our Savior, the Bible says, was scourged, Isaiah 52, more than any man. His body was grossly beaten beyond recognition for you and for me. They spit upon him, shoved a crown of thorns down on his head, led him back to Pilate, and Pilate said, behold the man. His own brethren, the Hebrews, began chanting, crucify him, crucify him. He said, take him away and crucify. They made him carry a cross. Some people say an old rugged cross, but I like the term better, hewed out. Because the cross wasn't smooth at all. The word rugged may not paint the picture. If you ever chop wood to see how wood is hewed and splinters and stickers are everywhere on this beat up body of our Savior. And he's trying his best to carry this cross up to Calvary's Hill. Simon of Cyrene came and helped him to bear that cross. And they led him to a place called Golgotha, the place of a skull. This place was literally a dump of decaying bodies that had been crucified and just cast to the side because people were so poor they could not bury their own. They laid our Savior down and began to nail him to the cross. You all, he made seven statements from that cross. I'm going to give you three of them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Our Savior is concerned for your soul. He's still concerned for your soul today. The question I'm asking, are you concerned for your soul? He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God has not forsaken you. His arms are open wide, waiting for you to obey. Finally, he said, it is finished. Not his pain and agony, but that he did everything in his power to become the propitiation for sin and to save man. One day, you're going to be finished. Would God say, well done to you? Jesus died and was put into a borrowed tomb. He came out of the grave on the third day. Many saw him, and he met with the apostles. Some of the final instructions he gave the apostles was go and preach the gospel. Go tell the world what I endured. Go tell them how I was scourged. Go tell them that I didn't give in to the pain. Go tell them that I was nailed to a cross unjustly. Go tell them that I didn't mumble or utter a word against my accusers. Go tell them that I died, I was buried, I rose again the third day. Do you believe that? Are you willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins? If so, Christ will add you to his church today. You all, there's no list for us to put you on. There's no baptism Sunday. Baptism is every day. Every day souls were added to the church. The Bible says in Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Do you want to be saved? If you're not saved right, you won't die right. And if you don't die right, you won't die in the Lord. And if you don't die in the Lord, you will be eternally separated from God. One more scripture. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 6. 2 Thessalonians. I believe this is a good ending for us. 2 Thessalonians. The chapter is 1 and verse number 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Notice what the Bible says. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well. When the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. This doesn't have to be you. You've heard the gospel tonight. You've heard how to be saved tonight. But what do I need to do, brother? Get with the person that invited you on and say, tonight, you all, tonight I want to be saved. Not tomorrow, tonight. Because I don't know if I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I want to die in the Lord. I want to make sure when I leave this earth that I'm going to be with Jesus. Y'all, this is your opportunity to do those things. Please don't let this lesson go over your head. Please don't say good lesson and don't respond. Because Jesus is waiting on you. Remember what John wrote. Blessed are they who die in the Lord from now on, for they will receive rest from their labor. For their deeds follow them. What's going to follow you? This lesson is yours. Thank you.